You're listening to True Fidelity, freeing you from the mainstream, your weekly source for independent music, stuff, and things. Because someone's got to do it.
Life is what you make it. Tell me, how can you forsake?
Hey, it's the True Fidelity Show. Thanks so much for listening. And this is not the kind of thing you should expect to hear. We play the finest independently made music worldwide like this.
Everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the True Fidelity Show. I'm Big D.
I'm Vaxi.
Patrick Galactic.
What?
Gulping
in hour
water.
Number one?
Yeah, I know.
I know. Got confused.
Traffic was light.
The Earth shifted.
Yeah.
The solar system is like
there was a paradigm
ground
shift
to a halt.
Yeah, basically.
Is it a holiday around the solar system?
Yeah, all U.S. presidents are acknowledged around
right?
the solar system.
Because didn't they all meet aliens at some point?
They all were aliens.
Oh, that's what I thought. We have Big Mike, of course, on the board. We are the True Fidelity Show, freeing you from the musical mainstream on a weekly basis, playing the best independent music you've probably never heard, but we think you should. We just came out of a set right there with the Ram Rams doing a great song, Baby Jesus. Before that, the Head Spins with Problematic Tendencies, and Ever After with You Turned Away. We have a special guest in the studio with us today. Somebody I've met before, but we've chatted quite a bit on Facebook, and I think she's very knowledgeable of the scene. Been around a long time and had an amazing life, I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
Tana, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Daryl.
It's punk rock goddess right there. I'm awed. I'm in awe of just being in the presence.
You're in awe of the odd?
Yes.
Oddly odd.
I'm oddly odd. Did you know that she tried out for Tom Petty
at his urging.
That's no crazy. Less. We're in like good company here.
So Tana, tell us about that. What was that about?
Oh, moving down to Los Angeles so I could start my acting and singing career. Can you guess what it was like?
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I did actually model naked for money.
So where are we find? Nice. I'm on my computer now.
Yeah, exactly. Where are these pictures available?
Was that Guccione or who was doing all of
that? Guccione? What?
No, actually, I fell in with a really bad crowd. I was really good friends with Spider, who was the Easy Rider editor and joke writer.
Oh, yeah.
And Train.
Right.
And they decided to help me make some money.
Oh, yay! So as it happened, terrible people.
They were awful, awful people.
Nude model.
Actually, I can't tell you how gentlemanly and polite they were.
Did you make any money?
I did.
Well, okay. So they at least fulfilled their end of the bargain.
Yeah.
They were cool.
I was never
way.
Molested. I wasn't sexually harassed. I stood there. They drew me. I did fiberglass casts, and I ate. So that was really good. You know, the music and theater and actress career went nowhere, though, I got to tell you. I have no idea why.
Were you ever, who? I assume you went to a lot of auditions.
Oh, my God,
everybody does.
Yes.
Do you remember any of the people you're up against that went on to do big things?
Did any of them go on to do
like
big
any of those
things?
Parts that you were like, damn it, if I'd have gotten that.
You're like, oh, that was...
Like, screw you, Sandra Bullock. You know,
I was
Farrah Fawcett that was got that.
I will be honest with you. You see how tall I am, right?
Yeah.
Freakishly tall. Freakishly tall gets you nowhere in LA. They can't frame you in with those little tiny people with the great big heads. Love those tiny people with
like
the great
Tom
big
Cruise
heads.
And
wanted to be like
yep,
the
Pacino.
Tiny people with
like
the great big heads.
5'6", 5'7".
I know. They could have been actually, they're real life hobbits.
Yeah.
They are.
That's, and then you get Arnold, who's like, what, 6 foot, standing right. next to him, and he looks like he's like Andre the Giant.
Right. He's gargantuan.
Right. But he's only like 6 foot.
Right.
6 feet tall.
So it was really,
like
really
me.
Cool because... Because women, you know, that I had to work with, I'd go to a modeling audition and they were all, you are so tall. And then I'd go to try and do a TV audition and they'd go, you're just never going to make it, man. I can't even frame you into this. Look at this. You know,
make everybody else look like a midget.
Right. And we can't frame you in. Can you get on your knees? And what I did get, finally, I got one part where I stood in a swimming pool. Because I was tall enough to be in the swimming pool
right.
with my tits still showing. Nice. I said, I found my niche.
There's
what I
got to
do is go and look for swimming pool gigs.
Yeah.
That's what I got to do.
And California, they're everywhere.
Nice. So, Tana, the swimming pool gal.
But part of the reason or main reason I wanted to bring you on is because you run several Facebook pages.
Several, yes.
And you're also steeped into the local music scene.
Yes.
And as a manager and as a promoter and...
Don't ever call me a promoter.
Okay.
Them's
as a manager. As a manager.
I'm a band manager and I do hookups.
And hookups. There you go.
I do Facebook hookups.
Who doesn't need a hookup? You know,
they do.
Everybody needs a hookup at some point.
That's yeah. way
and,
sexier.
And somebody
than
who's going to do
Isn't
it for
it?
You?
Mm-hmm.
I am a hookup babe, not a band babe, not a promoter. I'm a hookup babe.
And one of the things we talk about on here, of course, you know, from the independent music aspect, is these days, especially, is the relationship between bands and venues. And we've talked about this over and over. And you and I've had conversations online, and you've actually been part of conversations where people have taken shots at us as a station, as a show, some of our stances and so forth. And I've always admired your knowledge of the local scene, and also just bands and, you know, like the money aspect of things, and just how it works being in an independent band. So tell us a little bit about your take on the current scene from what you're seeing these days.
What I'm seeing in Seattle that's different from what I saw in years past was that we didn't have the kind of, I would call it the slimy LA influence of pay to play, mm-hmm. where people are looking to line their pockets on the bands. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are sincerely out for that. It's like, what's your draw? What can you get? And what they do is they go into the venue owners and they sell them this line of BS you would not believe. I mean, oh, I can get you any band you want, and not a dime will come out of your till, and your place will be packed, and it'll be, you know, and they're like, oh, this promoter can do all this for me. Because venue owners are restaurant owners. They aren't promoters. Right. They aren't on the music scene. They have no idea what's going on.
Just trying to sell
food. And they shouldn't have to. Their job is to fill their venue based on their food, their service, and their product. Mm-hmm. And so why are they having, you know, and they're going, okay, I can shove this all off on this promoter guy, who is just a sleazebag. So I'm really also into directly pointing out the sleazebags and exposing them. I've been doing that forever.
And you've gotten a lot of flack for that.
Oh, my God.
And isn't
Death threats.
Isn't it amazing that...
Death threats.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the top five worst promoters are, like, really bad guys.
And gals.
Would they be?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And women do it, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so... Because one of the things I've noticed is that, you know, it wasn't that long ago that every venue had their own audience, you know.
Right.
And so if I wanted to go out on a weekend night, I would pick a venue knowing what I was getting. I might not even know who's playing
like
there.
Like, hey, this is a great blues club, or this is a great
sort
of rockish kind of club.
This is a metal club. And
they always have great music in this genre.
And I'm going to go there knowing, and I may not even know the bands.
Good food, good drink specials.
But it's all flipped, right?
Yeah.
And now there are all venues play whatever they think is going to bring in the money for them. And
it's kind of DJ electronica dance.
There's a lot of that, too. But even the bands, even bands, like... there's venues that one night it's a country band, the next night it's a punk band.
Right.
Sometimes they're all together.
Or you've got five bands going on in one night that are all across the board.
Completely different.
Yeah.
And they're asking you as you come in, what band are you here to see? That bugs me to no end.
Me too.
That's
that makes
the LA
me crazy.
Influence.
Who cares?
Because I'm here to discover
exactly.
some new music too.
Yeah. But And you can't say it because I've tried that. I'm like, I'm here to see all of them. I don't know any of them. Well, you have to pick one because at the end of the night, that's how they divvy the money up.
Right.
And I find that just to be offensive.
Who to bring back.
Not only that, it completely destroys the feeling of unity and community among the bands.
Right.
You
want
to make them compete against each other, do a crappy battle of the bands, or ask which band you're there to see specifically, because they're going to get more money because the people aren't there to see them. And I do the exact same thing. I'm here to see the show. What happened to the show?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, what happened to the show? Just coming in and maybe discovering a new band.
Well, exactly. And it's also created this thing with local shows that Seattle, I would say, has changed, is that bookers want a certain sound for a certain night now, and there's less variety because they think they're going to draw the most people with bands that, you know, whatever, genre-wise, complement
each
other. Fit a
certain demographic.
And so it's all about draw. You pay the sound man out of the door instead of the club paying for their own personnel.
You can't create an equation and a formula.
Right. Mm-mm.
There's no way to do that.
What if you went to a show, instead of before the show, them asking you who you were to see, at the end of the show going, like, who was your favorite? That at least would be a little bit better.
I mean, yeah, that might, that I could possibly buy.
You could go for band A out of like a five band show, and you could walk away like totally in love with, you know, band C or D that went on, right? So.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that it's broken.
It is.
And I know
and
that.
And has been for.
And we've talked about it, but you're actually in the trenches. And that's what
I'm in the trenches working I probably work a good 4 to 6 hours a day because it's my feeling that if I put in the time to the music community for free,
yeah,
that it's going to make it better for my husband, for all my friends, for everybody in it. And what it is I'm at the age, I'm 55. I'm giving back to the community that fed me. I'm at that Erickson stage of development where I'm ready to give back now because I've gotten so much from it. Mm-hmm. And so I just do it because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and we need more people like that. And we're going to go into some more tracks here. But when we come back, I want you to tell people, you know, some of the Facebook communities that you host, because you really want some knowledge and you want some information about the inside stuff that's going on. I find out so much there from the forums that you have going on. I think people would benefit from that. But first, it's time for our featured artist of the week. We were supposed to have them on the line. We were going to do an interview with them, but as things happen,
it just didn't work out.
However, we're going to feature them anyway because I like them, and they are a local band, Bullets or Balloons. They have a brand new CD out called Lifestyle Toxins, and they have a couple of shows coming up in our area. You can go to their website and check it out, or check them out on Facebook. These are the three songs. We have Blueprints, Buttons on a Fur Coat, and Eve 7, Bullets or Balloons. Here you go.
Yeah. All we had in my day was the Sadie Hawkins dance and the flicker in a young lady's eye. Kids today with their think phones and their me pods and their true fidelity. Damn kids.
This is Voxy, and here is what's going on. One of the more recent avenues that musicians have sought for getting paid has to do with licensing their music to television, movies, video games, and apps. Think of all the music you hear every day via these outlets. Trust that musicians, now more than ever, are getting paid. Now, myself personally had yet to find out exactly how to tap into this market, but it has been on my radar as more and more musicians that I know are having some success with their music placement efforts. What I didn't realize is how streamlined it is becoming, and that it has even spawned a new music industry business called micro-licensing. Companies that musicians register their music with, who then are able to offer a mass library of music for content creators to choose from to add to their films, commercials, etc. This includes people making YouTube videos, where a company called Rumblefish.com boasts over 50,000 songs from their catalog are monetized via YouTube views monthly. According to Kevin Bruner, director of marketing at CD Baby, gone are the days of trying to restrict content usage. Instead, artists are encouraged to unleash the power of user-generated content and get their fans creating and uploading videos with their music. The more videos using their songs, the bigger the payday. From indies to major label artists, sound effects, production music, instrumental, cinematic, and everything in between, people can easily add high-quality, pre-licensed music to any project that needs it. FriendlyMusic.com has more than 2.5 million pre-licensed works that can be searched through by genre, mood, theme, occasion, tempo, instruments, or emotion. Then you can filter via vocals, instrumental, or sound effects as well. They license a song for personal use at $1.99, and for commercial use, it's either $25 or $125, depending on how big your company is according to revenue and employees. A company earning up to $1 million a year in revenue gets you the $25 price tag, versus a company at up to $3 million a year revenue paying $125 for the song use. But different licensing companies' pricing structures vary a bit, and there are many of them out there to choose from. If you're interested in either using music for your project or you are a musician interested in listing your personal catalog for use, just do an online search for music micro-licensing and you will discover plenty to find and research. So many businesses use music to enhance their event, their product, or their service. And we're not just talking about the big-time players in music licensing like major film and television. We are talking about the wedding videographer, the indie filmmaker, the app developer, or a company's presentation video, all wanting to add music, effects, or clips to their project, but for a long time not knowing how to go about it. Most are more than willing to obtain the inexpensive license required, but not knowing how to obtain them has made it difficult in the past. That is changing very rapidly as music micro-licensing is growing so quickly that it is even rumored to be the savior for the recording industry and is predicted to be worth over $500 million in the next 5 years. And I would guess that that is just a low estimate. This is good news for the future of music. The ease and accessibility of music today means that we may not be selling as many albums or downloads, but if you can gain fractions of a cent for every stream via Pandora, Spotify, YouTube, or the other hundreds of services that are streaming music, and if you can place your music for micro-licensing successfully, you can earn the equivalent of multiple album sales for a single project use of a song, combined with the potential of a worldwide marketplace, we may definitely be on the path to a brighter future for not just the music and recording business, but for your average talented but broke musician, they might be able to succeed past just their first album release and continue to share their gifts with us all. It's funny that just your average listener isn't willing to pay a dollar for a song or $10 for an album anymore, but your average content creator is more than happy to pay anywhere from $2 up to include your music or a clip of it in their project. And if that project is shared with other people, which is usually the goal, it will even generate more exposure for your music, leading to more interest and more chances of future music placement. I find the landscape exciting and inspiring. Watching the changes in the industry over the last decade has been fascinating. I'm always the dreamer and admitted optimist, and while everyone else has been freaking out, it was always something that needed to happen. The system had to break down. The paradigm had to shift in order to create a better future for musicians. The future of a sustainable career in music is in superfans, streaming, and micro-licensing. This is Voxy, turned on and tuned in for TruFi.
So we're going to have one of those oral palate cleaning exercises from brothers Joe and Harry, who make a racket in Harry's bedroom under the name Milo's Planes. You won't be able to hear a single word of what they sing or shout.
Traffic around. your soul. Make it all, make it up and dance and lose control. I've got joy, joy, way down in my soul. I've got joy, real joy, right down in my soul. That's why you say it ain't real. But I've got joy, and it's here to stay. Wash away my troubles, they're gone away. I've got joy, joy in my soul.
Thank you. your bomb detector couldn't find a golf ball. More than likely it's of no use at all. If you're lying or you're telling the truth, what exactly are you trying to prove? Ta-ta-ta-da. Ta-ta-ta-da. Oh, we thought about letting it go, the last million miles or so. Heart is breaking and my head is sore, still a long, long way to go. Ta-ta-ta-da. Ta-ta-ta-da.
Everybody, you just heard the Maybes with Contra Todos. Before that, Chris Daniels and the Kings off of their brand new album Funky to the Bone doing Joy, and Milo's Planes bringing us 2 feet in a crowd. You're listening to the True Fidelity Show. We have special guests, our special guest Tana, like Montana,
right?
So Tana in the building with us, and she's a veteran of the scene. She's a pro. She's the punk rock queen. And we're going to talk about for a moment, and if we don't get into all of it, we'll carry it over in hour number two. But there's this disease going around called BMI ASCAP sound scan.
BMI ass? What?
Yeah. It's these licensing groups that are wreaking havoc on not just the local scene, but it's like a cancer. It's bringing down clubs at an alarming rate on a national basis.
Yeah.
And it has become ridiculous to the point where we already have enough trouble, as we talked about before, getting bands into clubs because the model's broken. And now you have on the backside, you have these licensing groups that are coming in and basically shutting down clubs because if you don't pay your fee, the band can't play any kind of a cover tune or any of their songs that are licensed. If the club hasn't covered their butt on that, then they end up owing huge fines. And you've seen this, right?
They even do it with karaoke.
Is that right?
They do it with karaoke.
So if it's a karaoke club, they have to pay a licensing fee?
BMI has come in and told them, those are our songs. You owe us a bunch of money.
But aren't the people that record the instrumental karaoke tracks, I'm assuming, have already paid their licensing
wouldn't
fees
you assume
and rights
that when
to,
you bought the CD, you bought the license?
Yeah.
That's what I would assume, but that's not how BMI is working it.
It's no, just, that's not what
BMI
is doing.
It's just some mafia shit, ain't it?
It is. It is some sincerely mafia horse crap.
It is.
And you know what they're doing now? They're following around successful cover bands specifically because I just had it done with me. I think they're following us around.
Is that right? I don't doubt it at all. In fact, we put together a show at an unlicensed, we'll say, club. And, you know, one of their thing was that the bands that played could not play any even remotely registered music. And so I told the bands that. And of course, that brings them down, each band down to about three or four songs that they haven't registered yet or licensed yet, some songs they're working on.
Right.
They can't play their more popular song or whatever.
Their own freaking song.
Yeah, and it's
retarded.
And I don't know how this is working worldwide. I just know that in the US and Canada, they have their own sort of mafia. It's becoming a huge problem, and we're going to have to carry this over in hour number two because I want to get into this more because Galactic, you've witnessed it. Tana, you've witnessed it. And it's something that I think bands and people who are listening need to be aware of. that this is a huge problem, and we got to come up with some sort of solution on it, and we have to come to some sort of game plan to head this off at the pass.
An accord.
Otherwise, there's going to be nowhere to go.
Right? Yeah.
Then these are going to have to lobby against that federal law they've got. That's all we can do. Is there anything else we can do?
I don't know. We'll talk about it in hour number two.
Musicians combined.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to True Fidelity Show. That's the end of hour number one. We'll be right back. I'm Big D.
I'm Voxy.
Patrick Galactic.
And for Big Mike, we'll see you in hour number two.